Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey over the course of the next hour. And we've got a lot to get to here on this edition of the program. So we welcome you in. Thanks for taking some time out on your Saturday to check out the Panthers Insider Show. Well, the Panthers kicked off a four-game road trip last night with a 3-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, a big Atlantic Division matchup. The Panthers have now taken two games and two tries against Detroit this season. So it was a big win last night. We'll have the highlights from that one as they aired across the Panthers radio network coming up in just a few moments. Also, a couple of days ago, Matthew Tkachuk, Panthers forward, in his first season with the Panthers, currently leading the team in goals, assists, and points. Well, he was selected to the upcoming NHL All-Star Game, which is going to be held at FLA Live Arena in Sunrise. He'll participate in the skills competition as well, but named to the 2023 NHL All-Star Game roster. We will hear from him coming up in just a couple of moments on that. Of course, the All-Star festivities coming up on Friday, February 3rd, the skills competition. Saturday, February 4th, the All-Star Game. So Matthew Tkachuk named to the All-Star roster. We'll have some thoughts from him coming up here shortly. Also, Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. He'll talk about the Panthers' win last night over Detroit. Joining us later on in the hour to preview tomorrow's matchup, the Panthers are going to be in Dallas to take on the Stars. It's going to be a 3:30 Eastern faceoff, 3 o'clock Panthers preview across the radio network. Brian Ray from the Dallas Stars TV coverage on Bally Sports Southwest, he's going to stop by coming up later on in the program, so he'll give us a little bit of a scouting report on tomorrow's opponent, the Dallas Stars. And well, coming up next segment, friend of the program from the Territory Talk podcast and FloridaPanthers.com, Jameson Olive will stop by. We'll break down last night's win in Detroit and more. So lots to get to over the course of this edition of the Panthers Insider Show. The next Panthers home game coming up on the 14th. A week from today, the Panthers will play host to the Vancouver Canucks at 7 p.m. at FLA Live Arena. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. You don't want to miss that. Let's get right into hearing from Matthew Tkachuk. Mentioned a couple of days ago, he was named to the upcoming NHL All-Star Game roster. Had a chance to hear from him yesterday before the Panthers hit the ice against the Detroit Red Wings. And he talks about looking forward to the experience. Also talks about being able to play on the same team as his brother Brady, who will be representing the Ottawa Senators at the All-Star festivities. Here's Matthew Tkachuk.
Yesterday was pretty busy. Everybody's super excited. I think it adds to the excitement and has made it a lot bigger for myself that my brother's in it. So very exciting weekend ahead for my family. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if we dreamed about like playing in the actual All-Star games together, but you know, as you go on in your career, we both dreamt of playing in the NHL. One day we've dreamt of playing together. And we always thought that it was going to be maybe with the U.S. team or something like that. But now it comes at one of the, you know, biggest weekends in our sport with the honor of representing being one of the All-Stars. So it's crazy how that how it happened. And I was playing in a different conference last year. So a couple years ago, we played against each other in the All-Star game in the final. And now we're playing together. It's just crazy how it's happened. I've loved it. Obviously, we would like to be in a better position standings-wise right now, but I know we're not even at the halfway mark yet. With saying that, we don't have a lot of room to give away games like we did with some early in the year. So, but for myself personally, it's a dream spot for me to play. The team has been unbelievable. The guys in the room, everybody in the organization, like it's an honor to play in the NHL, but when you get to play exactly where you want to play in the city that is one of the best, probably the best to play in the NHL, it's just been a great, great change for myself. Very honored to be able to represent my team and myself for it.
So Panthers forward Matthew Tkachuk right there talking about his selection to the upcoming NHL All-Star festivities. What a great first season as a Panther it's been for him. Now let's turn the page to last night's action. The Panthers were kicking off their road trip against the Detroit Red Wings, a hard-fought 3-2 win over Detroit. Here are the highlights as they aired across the Florida Panthers radio network.
Eric Staal there. He'll wind it out to the near point. Handled by Aaron Ekblad. Long shot deflected, and Jabari Smith has it. He'll play it off the side of the Red Wing net. Eric Staal behind the net. Pass out to the center point. Gus Forsling, a drive. He scores, and the Panthers tie the game. Gus Forsling, a big rip from the point, and it's 1-1. Forsling, a big slap shot through traffic. Here's Barkov up to the offensive line. Pass near side, Tkachuk out of the air. Barkov near side out in front to an open. Ekblad, he scores! A power play goal, and what a setup! The Panthers take a 2-1 lead. Montour there. Montour, Ekblad, far circle. Back out to Montour. Looks to Barkov, right circle. Put it down low. Shot, rebound, they score! And that rebound bounced right to Ekblad. He cashes in his second power play goal of the game. And the Panthers take a two-goal lead. The Red Wing net empty. 6-on-4 for the Red Wings now. They're looking for one to tie. Panthers looking to preserve the one-goal lead. A tie up in the circle. The Red Wings have it. Here's Hronek. Hronek straight on. Looks over. What timer. And a save made by Bobrovsky on Fabry. And then the puck punched out to the line, but not out of the zone. The Red Wings will have another chance. Here's Kopp. Out to the blue line, Raymond. Now Perron, top of the near circle, 25 seconds. David Perron trying to pass it, bounced away, but Hronek has it at the blue line. Philip Hronek straight on. Perron, one-timer, save, Bobrovsky. Loose puck here to the near circle. Perron whips it across, lively bounce. Fabry tied up, and out to the line. The Red Wings hold the zone. Fabry, 9 seconds. Down low, Kopp. It's Raymond across Hronek, a drive. It broke the stick of the Roastarine and deflected away. Cleared to the line by Gudas, and the Panthers get the win. 3-2 the final here in Detroit. The Panthers hold off that late attack from Detroit, and they get out of Little Caesars Arena with the 3-2 victory in regulation. What a sequence at the end, and the Panthers get the 3-2 victory.
Some brilliant goaltending from Sergei Bobrovsky throughout, but especially in the late stages to help lock down that 3-2 win for the Panthers. So a big win last night. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice on that victory.
Well, it was a hard game. Like, I think Detroit played really, really well. I've watched them play a little bit. And, the pieces of the game that are so important, especially on the road, your special teams have to be good, but your goaltender's got to be good too, right? And that would be, for me, the story is Sergei Bobrovsky's third period, our penalty kill next, and the power play third, and then toward the end there, laying down in front of pucks. Look, I think the win over Arizona was a good win. I mean, like I said, they beat three playoff teams coming to us, and probably could have beat Tampa the game before. So that was a solid, hard win. This one was, there was physicality, you know, on both sides, some big hits. I think we handled that well. We took some big hits, didn't retaliate. Didn't happen the other way, and we scored goals off it. So I like the way we handled that.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice on the victory last night in Detroit. 3-2, the final score. Panthers kick off their four-game road trip with a win. Coming up later on in the show, Brian Ray from Bally Sports Southwest Dallas Stars TV coverage. He's going to be stopping by. We'll preview tomorrow's matchup. Panthers in Dallas, 3:30 Eastern, 3 o'clock Panthers preview on the radio network. But joining us next segment from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast, friend of the program, Jameson Olive. He's going to stop by next. We'll talk about last night's win, tomorrow's game in Dallas, Matthew Tkachuk's All-Star selection, all that and more with Jameson Olive coming up next. Doug Plagans here with you. It's the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show here on a Saturday morning. Doug Plagans with you as always. Panthers heading into Game 2 on a long road trip. They'll be taking on the Dallas Stars tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern time, an afternoon face-off, Panthers and the Stars tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, we'll be on the air with Panthers Preview beginning at 3 p.m. across the radio network tomorrow. So you can join us for that one. Then the Panthers will be in Colorado Tuesday night, 9:30 Eastern face-off, 9 o'clock Panthers preview on the radio network. Panthers will be then in Vegas on Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern faceoff, and then back home to take on the Vancouver Canucks on the 14th of this month. That's a week from today. The Panthers and the Canucks, 7 o'clock at FLA Live Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK, as always, to get your tickets, whether you want to go to one game or all the games by yourself or with all your friends. We can sort something out that works for you. Of course, the Panthers coming off last night's win over the Detroit Red Wings that kicked off this four-game road trip. They've won back-to-back games. 40 games into this National Hockey League regular season are the Panthers as they go into this one tomorrow against the Stars. But joining us here this segment from FloridaPanthers.com, from the Territory Talk podcast, which, by the way, you can find the Territory Talk podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk. Also, where you can find the official Panthers podcast presented by Baptist Health, from the Territory Talk podcast and FloridaPanthers.com. Jameson Olive, kind enough to stop by here on this Saturday morning to talk all things Panthers. And of course, the Panthers coming off a nice win last night, 3-2 over Detroit. And why don't we start with that one, Jameson? First, thanks for stopping by. But the Panthers, back-to-back wins. Last night, they get a win over Detroit. That's their second win in as many tries over the Red Wings this season. Seems like the Panthers just have the Red Wings number a little bit, because early December, they cruised to a 5-1 win over Detroit. Last night, Detroit definitely gave them a better fight, but the Panthers won 3-2, and even when the Red Wings had some good things going in that game, just felt like the Panthers had an answer for it one way or another.
Yeah, and that was an important game for both teams, let's not forget. Yes, the Panthers are chasing the Red Wings, but the Red Wings are also chasing quite a few teams ahead of them as well. So I think, you know, Paul Maurice said it best after the game, that this is a huge month for both those teams. Both those teams played hard. Both those teams really wanted it, but in the end, the Panthers came out on top, and I think there's a couple things you can point to. Obviously, Sergei Bobrovsky, I think, being number one. Only two goals allowed, some massive saves. There's that breakaway on Adam Ernie in the second period that really changed things, and then the Red Wings, man, they really came out in that third period. You could tell they really probably had some speeches going on there during that second intermission. They came out really hard to start that third period, and Sergei Bobrovsky made two or three highlight reel saves in the first minute there, including flashing leather on the captain, Dylan Larkin, to really quiet the building a bit there and give the Panthers some breathing room in that final period. So, Bob, first and foremost, first star of the game for me. But then after that, you know, power play 2-for-2, two huge goals from Aaron Ekblad, penalty kill 5-for-5. And I think if we take a step back and kind of look at the season as a whole, the Panthers have been one of the top 5-on-5 teams in this league from start to finish. They're great at it. They're a great possession team. The 5-on-5 numbers, expected goals, expected goal percentage, all those things look great for the Panthers. Special teams has decided a lot of games for the Cats this year. And I don't mean as a whole. I don't mean both at once. Some games, there were some games where, you know, they didn't get the big power play goal they needed. Some games, you know, the penalty kill allowed the power play goal that cost them the game. So it's not just one thing, but overall special teams has been a little tough for the Panthers here this year, although the power play for the past, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks has been really strong and steady. You look at that game and you think that maybe they're turning a corner in a couple areas. And, you know, every guy on that team feels, you know, I asked him after the game, that was another building block as they look to build this second half comeback. But, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky special teams, when those things are clicking, you're going to win 90% of the games you play.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us. And yeah, a game like that, sometimes they say you create your own luck. Sergei Bobrovsky was outstanding, got a little help from the goalpost there early in the third period as well. And the Panthers cruise to a win. And Sergei Bobrovsky, that's 23 wins and 30 decisions against the Detroit Red Wings in his career. So the Panthers have had the Red Wings number a little bit this season. Bobrovsky has had the Red Wings number a little bit over the course of history.
I want to challenge you there for a second, because this is something we never talk about, and I feel like this is a good forum for it. Is you say a little help from the goalpost there. That's always a thing in hockey. You know, gets a little help from the goalpost. Do they, though? I think that's just the guy missing the shot.
Yeah, that means that he was missing the net.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't even count as a shot on net, but it's a little bit of a...
If it sails wide, you don't say a little help from the boards where it crashes into inevitably. That's just a hockey thing I've never really understood, a little help from the post. You know, maybe...
I understand where you're coming from.
Maybe if it goes post to post, the multi-post shot, maybe that, but just hitting off one post, I'm just saying the guy's just missing that shot.
So you're putting it on the shooter.
I'm putting it on the shooter.
Giving the goalpost no credit.
No credit.
Because it is an object. It probably didn't do anything.
It's also a Red Wings goalpost. It's a home goalpost either. That post does not want to help the Panthers. But you know what? We'll take it any way we can.
We'll take the bounce, because the bounce resulted in the puck going outward. It didn't go in the net. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us, joining us to talk all things Panthers and make us think about some things as we broaden our horizons here on a Saturday morning. Well, the Panthers last night, they got the 3-2 win. Matthew Tkachuk had an assist on the first Ekblad power play goal, the second Panthers goal in that game. And it was, we talk about it all the time, his hands, his puck skills. It was kind of an all-world play. Batted one out of midair to get the puck down along the boards to Barkov. Barkov centered it to Ekblad. He scored. So when you think about the play, you look at the setup, the goal, but that play along the boards was an all-world play by Matthew Tkachuk. It was a secondary assist, but it was one of the best-looking secondary assists that you can get.
Yeah, no one's going to talk about that, I think, other than us, because the pass from Barkov was great, the goal from Ekblad was great, but it all started with that play from Matthew Tkachuk, and he's now become that guy that does so many plays like that in games that I would really recommend. He's entered that territory that Barkov's been in for a while, and maybe Kachuk's been in it for a while too, but we're only just seeing him now every single day now that he's here with the Panthers. But he's a player where you can just probably watch every shift he has in a game, and you'll see something. You'll see something small, subtle, but impactful. And sometimes it's loud, but a lot of times it's quiet. It's those little plays. It's those little hand plays, like you said, those little pass breakups, those little chip passes up the ice to get the rush going. There's so many little things he does well that add up to big performances, and that was just another one of them. So I know we've talked about in the past, you and I, we said he was going to be an all-star with what he was doing, and obviously he ended up being an all-star.
And big congratulations to him for that. Jameson Olive here with us, and an all-star in his first season as a Panther, leading the team in goals, assists, points, penalty minutes, doing it all for this Panthers team. And we said it from the outset, but when the All-Star festivities come to town here, it's fast approaching, but when the All-Star festivities come to town, he's going to be kind of the mayor of the All-Star festivities. American-born player, All-Star game being held in the States in a tropical location that everybody wants to come to. He was talking, a couple days back just about how excited he is not only for this, but just to show everybody around town and show everybody what kind of market this is. He really is making his mark in a hurry on hockey in South Florida. And I think, as you pointed to there when we were talking about the play he made last night, he's opening a lot of people's eyes to what kind of player he is, because he was playing out west. He was playing in Canada. Games were coming on late. Maybe a lot of folks out east weren't seeing him play. But I think everybody's really getting an appreciation for the kind of player he is and the kind of charismatic player that he is as well.
Yeah, and he just cares so much about the game and growing the game and his impact on the game. And just to see how much he's embraced South Florida right off the bat. He could have just shown up here and said, yeah, Florida's great. Gone to the beach, played the rink, whatever, that's fine. But the way he talks up the market, the way he talks up the fans constantly, the way he engages with the fans at games and at practices, you just love to see it, and you just love to know that this is year one of eight for Matthew Tkachuk here with the Panthers. Him and Barkov both locked into eight-year contracts. Those are the two faces of the franchise right now. Those are guys where there's, an eight-year-old out there right now that's, got his face pressed up against the glass with a sign that's going to be in his mid-teens, still watching those guys play there for the Panthers. So those are the two cornerstones for the Panthers.
We'll be on the other side of 40.
We'll be a little old. We'll be a little bit older, yeah. But those are the guys. And that's, for Matthew Tkachuk to get that all-star nod, I think it's a great chance for him to kind of come out as one of those faces now of the Panthers nationally on a big stage. And he's going to put on a show. I hope the NHL puts him in every event they can. I hope he's on camera a lot, because, like you said, he really is just a great ambassador, not just for the Panthers, not just for hockey, but I think the NHL as a whole. I think they really need to lean more into Matthew Tkachuk than they currently are.
Now, the Panthers, of course, gearing up for the rest of this road trip. And Jameson, this has been a topic throughout the week. We've talked to Paul Maurice about it a little bit, but I think a lot of folks, regardless of where we've been throughout the first half of the season, and a lot of people are looking at this stretch, this January grind. And I think, even though it wasn't the first game of the month for the Panthers, I feel like last night's game in Detroit kind of started this stretch, this about 3-week stretch or so leading up to, the bye and the All-Star break and things like that, when things get to be a little bit more routine. But these next few weeks, a lot of people have been looking at this for a long time. Just how important, is there a way to can you even overstate how big this next few week stretch is for this Panthers team? Not only from a wins-losses perspective, but just staying in the moment, because it's going to be a lot of hockey and a lot of travel in a short period of time.
Yeah, you can't overstate it, and we're not the only ones stating it. I mean, this is a known topic in the locker room. No one's minimizing how big this month is. You know, Paul Maurice has been talking about January for everything since he got hired almost. He's been saying this is going to be the month that kind of defines the team, even before the team was struggling early in the season. You know, for all the guys, this is the month. This is the make or break month with all the games on the road, because it's going to set you up for
and games really against good finish. Teams too.
Good finish, but you know, this team will have a lot of home games closer to the end of the season. So it's about putting yourself in a good enough position to then take advantage of those home games later on. And you know, this is the kind of month where at the end of this month, you can't still be trying to get back in the hunt. At the end of this month, you got to be in the hunt. And the Panthers, you know, enter this month 8 or so points out of a playoff spot. If you can be within 4 at the end of this month, you're then in a really good position to say, you guys, we're only a couple points out, a lot of home games left, let's now go out there and take it and make that, you know, grab it, you know, the bull by the horns there. So for the Cats, this is a huge month, huge games. I think 8 and 9 on the road is the stretch we're in right now, with that one game against Vancouver, a lot of travel like you said. But then after that, schedule gets a bit easier, so it's just what can you do with these games to still pick up points and still stay in the hunt, and then in the end of the month, like I said, be in the hunt.
Yeah, Paul Maurice has said the Panthers have, I believe, just about half of their road schedule after the All-Star break, and that's a good situation to be in, but they're going to pay the price for that right now. So an important stretch for the Panthers coming up with a lot of travel, a lot of games on the road, going to be a grind, no doubt about that. Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com here with us. Real quick here, Jameson, before we get going, before we let you get going, a couple more here to get to, but Panthers and the Stars tomorrow, second final matchup of the season for these two teams. The last time the Panthers played Dallas at FLA Live Arena, uncharacteristic start for the Panthers. Didn't get the start they were looking for, and Dallas is just too good a team. Proved to be a little too big of a hole to dig out of as that one went along. But a big test tomorrow. The games on this trip aren't going to get any easier. Dallas is the Central Division leader. They've been one of the best teams in the league, really, from the outset this season. What do you look for in tomorrow's matchup?
I mean, they got 4 really strong lines. They got veterans on all those lines. Jason Robertson's a legit heart contender, and so is Matthew Tkachuk, but you know, Jason Robertson's really had a strong season from start to finish as well. The defense, really steady, a lot of good players there. Jake Ottinger, one of the top young goaltenders in the NHL. So they definitely are. I mean, they're leading the Central Division right now. It's deserved. They've played well enough. They have the talent. They have a great roster. But what really defines that game for me is the start. Is the time 3:30 start?
Uncharacteristic. It's an odd start time.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the great equalizer, because we've seen so many games that kind of throws teams off. As much as, you know, teams don't want to be thrown off in games like that, it really does kind of make things a little weird. And you know, when there's a game that starts at 2 or 3 or 3:30 like this game is, usually one team comes out with a lot of jump and the other one looks a bit sluggish. There's no rhyme or reason to why one team is that and one isn't, but regardless, it's safe to say I think one team probably will come out hot in this game. It can be the Panthers easily. Will it be the Panthers? We'll find out. But I think if they can be that team, come out hot, you know, take a lead there in the first period, it's going to set the stage for the rest of that game. And you look at this road trip now. They got that win in Detroit. 3 more games to go on this trip against some tough opponents: Dallas, Colorado, Vegas. I think if they could have taken 3 or 4 as a whole on this trip, that's huge. That really moves the needle forward. It helps them in that push. You beat Detroit. If you can beat Dallas, then you only need 1 against Colorado, Vegas to really make this a spectacular trip. That really sets you up for something special.
And tomorrow, obviously, we may not know our goaltending matchup for tomorrow until tomorrow. But, Jameson, how much fun would a potential Spencer Knight-Jake Ottinger goaltending matchup be with two of the top up-and-coming American young goaltenders be if that's what we get tomorrow? We'll take any goaltending matchup. It's going to be a good game either way. But I think a lot of folks would love to see that. Boston College versus Boston U, two great young American goaltenders head-to-head. We'll see what we get.
Yeah, no, it really would be fun, and it'd really be a great day for the red, white, and blue, I think, because you look at what USA's got right now. Obviously, you have Connor Hellebuck over in Winnipeg being the top dog among USA goaltenders just in terms of pedigree, but you look at the future down the road, especially if the U.S. ever gets back, you know, in the Olympics, if the NHL ever returns to the Olympics. There's always the talk of the World Cup of Hockey coming back, and they still haven't nailed that down, but when you look at the future of goaltending for USA, it's Jake Ottinger and it's Spencer Knight, so only one of those guys can start once it gets to those big games, so I do think these regular season games matter. Of course, you know, they're future teammates on the international stage, but right now I think they both want to make their mark. They're both young goaltenders. They both want to be seen as that next big thing, especially when it comes to USA hockey. So that'd be a real fun matchup to watch. We don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, you look at what Dallas has got going on, and Jake, you know, is really the defined number one over there. We're here, the Panthers, really letting Bob and Spencer get some time in, which is going to be important in January. There's a ton of games. Both guys are going to see a lot of time. So, like,
and Bob was outstanding last night.
Bob was outstanding in Detroit. So we don't know who's going to get the nod there, but if Spencer Dyton does, Knight versus Ottinger, I think that's going to be a fun matchup.
We'll see what we get. He's Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com. Jameson, thanks very much for stopping by on a Saturday morning.
Thanks, Doug.
That's Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com. You can find his work there. You can find him on Twitter at Jameson Coop. And you can also hear him on the Territory Talk podcast, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, the official Panthers podcast presented by Baptist Health. Big thanks to Jameson Olive for stopping by there. Coming up next segment, we'll go behind enemy lines, talk a little bit of Dallas Stars, preview tomorrow's matchup. The Panthers will be in Dallas for game two of this road trip. From Bally Sports Southwest Dallas Stars coverage, Brian Ray is going to stop by. Coming up on the other side of the break, folks, Doug Plagans here with you. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always. Final segment of the program, but an exciting guest coming your way here in just a moment. Panthers fans, come to the dark side. Catch your cats at their annual Star Wars night as they take on the Nashville Predators on March 2nd at 7. Purchase your ticket package today. It includes a limited edition Star Wars Night t-shirt plus a meet and greet with Star Wars characters. Go to FloridaPanthers.com today for more information on that. Joining us now, my old friend from college, but also he is the host of Stars Telecast, Dallas Stars Telecast on Bally Sports Southwest. Brian Ray stopping by, kind enough to take some time out for us. Before we get into talking about tomorrow's game, which, folks, by the way, a 3:30 Eastern time start, 3 o'clock, we're on the air with Panthers Preview on the Radio Network. But, Brian, we're just talking Star Wars night. March 2nd is when the Panthers hold their Star Wars night. The Stars, of course, aren't going to be in town that night. But Star Wars, do you have a favorite Star Wars character you'd like to meet? I was talking about the meet and greets there coming up.
A favorite character I'd like to meet? Like, wow. It's you open up like the nerd can of worms when you mention that. So, like, look, Han Solo has the coolness factor. So yes, that's usually an easy go-to. Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Ewan McGregor version, had a coolness factor to it, but there's sort of like that cool older grandpa factor.
A lot of wisdom.
Thank you. A wisdom factor. You know, yes. R2-D2 gives you a little comic relief along with C-3PO. So if you're looking through the a la carte menu of which character you'd like to meet, I feel like those are probably four of the most popular ones that you could go through. Or Vader has the intimidation factor. Yep. Like, we're all a little nervous, but like, we hang out with him because nobody's going to mess with us type thing. So, you know, I don't know if I have a favorite. It probably depends. Like, what's your mood the day of the Star Wars game for which character you want to meet? I think that's the determining factor you got to look at.
Yeah, all these things you got to think about before the Panthers have their Star Wars night on March 2nd. I think I know it's big. A lot of folks like the photo op, social media photos. R2-D2 and C-3PO, can't think of a better photo than getting one between those two. That seems like it would be a lot of fun. Brian Ray,
if you're a kid, Baby Yoda. Like, I forgot about that. Look, I know we're here to talk hockey, but like, Let's be honest. This is the most important conversation we're going to have on this thing. So Baby Yoda is going to be the kid factor. See? All right, now I'm done with that.
And you're inside 2 months. You got to make all these decisions in under 2 months. You got about 24 hours to think about the Panthers and the Dallas Stars. That's going to be coming up tomorrow from Dallas as the Panthers are on this long road trip. So, Brian, I guess we start first there. This Dallas Stars team from the outset this year under new head coach Pete DeBoer, they've been one of the top teams in the Western Conference, and they've really been the class of the Central Division since the season started. Colorado's had some injuries, so they've kind of surged out to that top spot. Looking at this Dallas team that last played on Wednesday, a tough loss against Anaheim, looked like they did a lot that on a normal night might have propelled them to a win in that game. They just didn't get the result they were looking for. But overall, under Pete DeBoer, what's been the hallmark trait of this Dallas Stars team that's helped them have the kind of success they've had?
Anybody who's watched the Stars closely over the last 3-4 years, they've had a hard time scoring goals. And just something as simple as the goals scored per game, it is significantly up this year compared to what they've had in previous seasons. So the style of play of Peter DeBoer, it's been much more aggressive. It's been a much higher pace style of play, and he gives the players the freedom to make a play or make decisions with the puck at the offensive blue line. So, you know, if we're going to go deep X's and O's, if you have space to carry the puck in and do something with it, do it. You do not have to chip. You do not have to chase. You do not have to let go of possession and then try to retrieve. So doing that, I think, has opened things up a little bit for the Stars. And the other element of that, that me and my co-host Brent Severin, former Florida Panther of all people, when we were watching in training camp, the big thing Peter DeBoer was harping on was their breakouts. He wants speed out of the breakout, which builds speed into your neutral zone, speed into your offensive zone, obviously. But there was a lot of cross-ice passes through neutral ice to a weak side defender. So that's kind of an area where they're building up speed in order to create entrances into the offensive zone and play at this higher pace. And it's obviously led to more goals. The other element is the power play has been unbelievable for the Dallas Stars this season. It's been one of the best in the NHL. And obviously it helps when Jason Robertson just goes nuts in the month of November, scoring goals at will, the way that Tage Thompson appears to be doing right now for the Buffalo Sabres. But that top line with Robertson, Hintz, and Pavelski, as good as they were last year, they look just as formidable this year. But the style of play from Peter DeBoer has finally given the Dallas Stars a little bit of depth scoring with players behind that top line. Mason Marchment, the former Panther, had a little bit of contributions to that. Jamie Benn's had a resurgence. Wyatt Johnston, the 19-year-old rookie, had a resurgence. So I'm throwing a lot of names out there, but there has been a almost by committee contribution offensively after the top line. And the better offense of the Dallas Stars has been the most glaring difference from what we've seen the last two, three, four seasons down here.
Brian Ray with us. He is, of course, the host on the Dallas Stars television broadcast on Bally Sports Southwest and taking us behind enemy lines here a little bit as the Panthers get set to take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow. Again, a 3:30 Eastern time face-off, 3 o'clock Panthers preview for you across the radio network. A lot of directions we can go off of that, but the big story for the Dallas Stars as far as an individual is concerned this season has been Jason Robertson, and he's gone over the last few years from, you know, promising player to good player to elite player in the National Hockey League. What's been the biggest key to his success as far as his progression's concerned? It's happened so quickly, it feels like.
There's clearly offensive skill there. I mean, but going back to junior hockey, he was a gifted player offensively. There's a couple of different things. Playing with Roope Hintz and Joe Pavelski is going to help any player. And those three, I describe that line as the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, each player on that line has made the other two better as a hockey player the last couple of years. So that's part of it, is he's got really good chemistry with really good line mates. I think playing with Joe Pavelski, I mean, you learn a lot. Being around a player with that resume and that pedigree, you learn a lot about what it takes to be a consistently high-level player at the NHL level. So there's little factors there that I think has really brought, we'll call it Jason Robertson's development track. It's part of the development track, right? But for Robo specifically, talking to him yesterday after practice, because he had the all-star nod, right? He has this ice water, even keel demeanor about him. And it's not just for show. He has scored some big goals on the ice, and no emotion, stone-faced, you know, obviously hugs and hand pounds, but clearly is already thinking about the next shift or the next portion of the game, and it's just another goal. When he was on his 18-game point streak, he was constantly asked about the production and the consistency, and he never wavered from any type of response other than, was it a win or a loss in the game? And even when we were talking to him about the All-Star game, you know, he said it's obviously a big honor, and to represent the Dallas Stars is important and it's a privilege. But also, you know, there's a bigger picture, right? That he's focused on. And so, you know, what does that go back to? Does it go back to upbringing? Does it go back to playing with Joe Pavelski? Does it go back? It goes back to a lot of different things. You know, it was spending time in the American League to learn how to you know, score at the professional level. It's all sort of snowballed into this thing. He's just a very even-keeled, highly motivated, but respectful, smart, knowledgeable individual of the task at hand, what's in front of him, the pressure that comes and the responsibility that comes with being an elite player, and that there's really never a finish line. There's always something next that you need to achieve. And that's what I think has really driven him into the elite talent that he is. He has the right mindset. And it's kind of cliche, but there is something to be said about players that can mentally balance and manage those types of demands.
Brian Ray here with us this morning on Panthers Insider, breaking down tomorrow's matchup, the Panthers and the Dallas Stars. Tomorrow's going to be a 3:30 faceoff. And another guy chosen by Dallas in that draft in which they got Jason Robertson is the goaltender Jake Oettinger. And the opening faceoff for tomorrow's game over 24 hours away. But, Brian, the last time the Panthers and the Stars hit the ice, I remember my broadcast partner Billy Lindsay and I talking about how, you know, down the road in the event that NHLers go to the Olympics again at some point, there's a chance that whether it's Spencer Knight over on the Panthers side or Jake Oettinger over on the Dallas side, you have two of the top up-and-coming American goaltenders here between these two young guys. Of course, you've got Connor Hellebuck in the mix and John Gibson still in his prime. So certainly some good American goalies, but between the Panthers and the Stars, they've got two of the biggest up and comers now, as far as that's concerned. Jake Oettinger and his game was the playoffs last year. That was kind of his coming out party, it seemed like, when everybody really took note of him. And again, we don't know who's going to be between the pipes exactly for the matchup tomorrow yet, but worth mentioning what Jake Oettinger has meant to this team.
So there's two things here with that question. And Jake Oettinger is very similar to Jason Robertson. He is very even-keeled. There is a very quiet confidence about him. And going back to the previous 2 years, the chances that I've had to chat with him, he was not a normal 21 or 22-year-old player. You guys may have the same thing with Spencer Knight. I've never met Spencer Knight, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a similar demeanor. It's weird sometimes to see the maturity factor in some of these players. And I think for a goalie specifically, goalies, they don't enter their prime until whatever they say, 26, 27. But the biggest part of that, I think, is mental maturity for that specific position. And I think for some players, and Jake Oettinger is one of them, it's almost like they found that mental maturity of a 26-year-old 4 years earlier at 22. And so we saw that maturity developing. You mentioned the playoffs last year as the coming out party. The whole season leading up to that playoff series, and even a little bit before that, when he was thrusted into the starting role because of injuries to Anton Khudobin and Ben Bishop, he never, you know, he had growing pains, but there's a difference between growing pains and being rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never had his cage rattled. There's just like Jason Robertson, there's a mental fortitude and scar tissue, however you want to phrase it, to manage the load of being a number one goaltender. And so the fan base in Dallas is supremely excited for what they have out of that 2017 draft, because Miro Heiskanen was also in it. It was a franchise-altering draft. But the second part, and I'm really glad you brought this up, the last time the Stars and Florida Panthers played, it was Bobrovsky and Nett instead of Spencer Knight. And I'm begging, can we get a Jake Oettinger versus Spencer Knight, Boston University versus Boston College matchup? It would be a phenomenal. I love goalies. I'm a goalie dork. That would be such a fun storyline to talk about. And then you mentioned the future of American hockey and American goaltenders. Those two are kind of connected at the hip, because also when Jake Oettinger signed his contract extension, in came Spencer Knight with almost an identical contract extension, maybe a little bit more on the cap, but you cannot tell me that they were waiting for the Oettinger contract to set the market for Spencer Knight. There's a strange connection for me between these two players, and I just so badly want to see them go head-to-head in a hockey game.
Yeah, we'll see if that's what we get about 24 hours from now. Panthers and the Stars from Dallas as the Panthers continue this road trip. And Brian Ray from Bally Sports Southwest talking Dallas Stars, talking the Panthers matchup against Dallas tomorrow. We had a chance to chat with Spencer Knight. I still tell people this story minutes after the Panthers drafted him in the first round a few years back. And I remember as soon as I started talking to him, thinking in my head, there's no way this kid's 18 years old. He just seems so mature beyond his years and composed and calm. And it's that's how he plays the position, is just composed and calm, and he just has full command of it. So, sounds like you're describing a very similar guy there.
You know what? It's don't let me go off on too much of a tangent. We went to college together. You can tell me to shut up, and I won't mind. But I was having a conversation with Marty Turco, I'm going to guess maybe 6 years ago, and the old Dallas Stars goalie, and we were just talking about, I don't even know how he fell on this topic, but he had a really interesting point that players who go to college, and there's no difference. There's no competition. There's between junior hockey and college hockey. There's a lot of different assets you learn on how to play at the pro level. But he found it fascinating that players who went to college, he thought he noticed you're playing less games, but you have to go to class. You have to do your workouts. You have to eat in the cafeteria. You have to socialize on weekends. You are thrusted into this environment where you have to interact and build yourself socially amongst an entire group of diverse people. Whereas sometimes in junior hockey, you have your billet family, you have your team, but you're traveling around playing your 70 plus games and then your playoff games. Maybe you go to a Memorial Cup, whatever, and you can get, you're not totally put in a bubble, but it's just a different type of environment socially. So I think of you describing Spencer Knight, who went to Boston College. I'm describing Jake Ottinger, who went to Boston University. I don't know if there's something to players coming out of college. Do they have more of a mature social approach? Are these two just unique individuals? It didn't matter where they played. But it is interesting sometimes to talk to some players that come out of that college environment, and the way they interact with people, it might be a little more polished. It might be a little more authoritative. So I'm not totally surprised to hear you say that about Spencer Knight because of the environment that both he and Jake Ottinger came from.
I think the environment could have something to do with it. Also, I think these goalies growing up now get such a specialized training. I think a lot of them, they come in ready to play at 22, 23, maybe, whereas in the past, at 22 or 23, you might still need a couple of more years in the American Hockey League ahead of you. But I think some of the best guys come in ready to play at just a younger age now. Brian Ray with us here from Bally Sports Southwest. One more here for you, Brian, before we let you get going. Tomorrow, matinee affair, Panthers and the Stars. For the Dallas Stars, if they're going to have success, what's the biggest key for them in the matchup tomorrow?
Oh, man. Usually, if the top line is buzzing, especially because they can dictate matchups on home ice, that's a good first indicator. The second thing is, if they get a power play goal, it's usually also been a good indicator. They have not had to live and die on their power play by any stretch of the means. They've had depth scoring. They've had all that. But if you're just looking for a simple indicator, if that top line has a really effective first couple of shifts in the first period, that usually sets the tone. Or if they get a power play goal, let's say in the first period or early on in the second period, one of those two things usually indicates it's going to be a competitive night for the Dallas Stars. So those are the two things I'd be watching for.
Brian Ray with us here from Bally Sports Southwest. And Brian, real quick, tell all the folks out there where they can find you if they've been captivated by this segment right here on the Panthers Insider Show.
Well, they should probably just go to your Twitter account because I'm sure you're going to retweet this. You're going to tag me.
Yeah, I will.
You're going to give
will.
Me all the pub. Yeah.
I'm a big name dropper. I'm not afraid to
you
mention
are.
That Brian Ray was here.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I can say, look, it's at Brian Ray on Twitter. The problem is I spell my name weird. I spell it B-R-I-E-N and the last name is R-E-A. So even if I tell them that, they still don't know where to find me. So I might have to rely on you, but it's at Brian Ray on Twitter. You know how it goes. It's all about social media.
All the folks will find it, and you'll find Brian tagged on there. And again, Brian, we thank you very much for stopping by, and we will see you out at the arena tomorrow.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Great to talk to you. Brian Ray from Bally Sports Southwest. The Stars coverage there does a great job You can catch them all season long there. And, of course, the Panthers and the Stars will play tomorrow. 3:30 Eastern, 3 o'clock, Panthers preview on the radio network. Panthers and FLA Live Arena, excited to bring you the FLA Live app. The FLA Live app is an interactive arena mobile application, perfect for enhancing and personalizing visits to FLA Live Arena for Panthers games, concerts, and events. Use this app for tickets, mobile ordering, and much more. Download it at floridapanthers.com/FLA Live. Big thanks to Brian Ray for stopping by this segment. Jamison Olive joined us last segment. Panthers and the Stars tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern, puck drop, 3 o'clock Panthers preview across the radio network. Folks, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.